fight is not about these monuments, which may hurt some feelings. This fight is essentially a demographic struggle for the future of Western civilization.
Unbelievable. It happened here and it happened now. A torch-bearing, menacing mob marched on Charlottesville, Virginia, some 100 miles from the nation's capital. The troglodyte white nationalists, led by alt-right hero Richard Spencer, were upset that the city plans to take down the statue of Confederate icon Robert E. Lee. The protest reminded many Southerners of Ku Klux Klan marches from not so long ago, and prompted Mayor Michael Signer to issue a public condemnation. That's when a torrent of anti-Semitic attacks targeting the mayor, who is Jewish, began. And I am so pleased that he has agreed to discuss this ugly episode with us today on our show. Mr. Mayor, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Let's begin by you describing briefly the events leading up to the May 13th White Nationalist March on Charlottesville.
We have a couple of statues to Confederate generals in Charlottesville that have been here since the 1920s, and they're right in the vicinity of our downtown mall. About a year ago, there was a protest wanting to move one of the statues, the one to Robert E. Lee. That kind of sparked a whole year of a very eventful controversy in the city. We set up a Blue Ribbon Commission on race memorials and public spaces. And I was very hopeful through this that we could come to a solution that would involve adding rather than subtracting. I rather we create a dynamic in the public spaces where the statue, even if it offends a lot of people, is rebutted and visibly overcome. There was testimony that the Blue Ribbon Commission took on the grounds that if we erase our past, then we will be condemned to repeat it. That was one of their arguments. These should be teachable moments. After that vote was taken to move the statue, this became a cause celeb for the alt-right. And there was a whole other controversy where there was a back and forth between this local alt-right figure and our vice mayor, who's African-American. He started targeting him. So that is the backdrop for what happened on Saturday, where I think this was coincidental, but it was horrible. We have a annual Festival of Cultures where we celebrate the international diversity that we have here in this community, which is a very diverse, wonderful, richly, very progressive community. And he led a protest during this of several dozen people in khakis and white shirts, kind of talking about all these alt-right themes, not only that they wanted white history and Euro-nationalism to be maintained, but that Russia is our friend. This was beyond belief. They were using slogans straight out of the Trump alt-right playbook. And then that night, they showed up again in slightly greater numbers at Lee Park, where the Lee statue is, with tiki torches that apparently they purchased from Walmart, in this display of visual terror and intimidation. And it was disbanded fairly quickly because there was an altercation during it where somebody started confronting them and then they confronted that person. But the images literally went around the world. And I put out a statement saying that intolerance was not welcome in the city and saying that it harkened to the days of the KKK. And I think that was what got a lot of people's attention, and I stand by that. And then that led me to become the target of a wave of attacks also from a lot of this quarter. And so it's been just a really crazy week.
I'm sure it has. What was the effect on you personally, and especially with the festival going on, what was the effect of the people in Charlottesville?
Well, very ironically, the organizers of the Festival of Cultures had just the prior week gone through what's called bystander training for if there were people trying to harass them, how would they address it? So let me put a little bit of context on this. We have a major office, the International Rescue Committee here, which brings hundreds of political refugees to Charlottesville. And these are people who fled tyranny in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Iran. The point of bystander training is you're taught how to deal with somebody coming to disrupt your event. And one of the key parts of it that you do is you focus on the victim, not on the harasser. So you're trying to calm things down, secure the situation, ease the pain of somebody who's being targeted, and diffuse things rather than playing into the heckler or the harasser who has shown up to make the event about them and their grievance. So they had just been through that, and that was effective. It was taken in stride, and that they were seen as marginal figures. So it did not have nearly the sensational effect that the event at night did. That really was scary, I think, for people, to for us to become the venue for this act that was out of 50 years ago and or 100 years ago, and it was very alarming for this community, and it has led to a lot of solidarity and a lot of compassion here and a lot of anger.
You know, Mayor Signer, I don't think we would have expected anything like this just a couple of years ago, and now it's somehow less surprising. Is this part of the new normal, do you think?
I fear so. I think that the Trump campaign and Breitbart News and forces that swirl around to create this new alt-right movement have blessed a different kind of politics and have ratified practices and actions that were beyond the pale just like 3 years ago. And I think that it runs the gamut, that it has become okay for people to talk publicly about white nationalist ideas in a way that seems like it's part of our regular discourse, is connected to the messaging that we saw all last year and to what is happening online in these communities. I think it's also connected to this wave of anti-Semitic attacks that I've seen in the last week, which have really, that's been a new experience for me. I'd never seen that before. And the level, some of them are just historical tropes, you know, that I thought had been retired after World War II. And then some of them are much more kind of disturbing mashups of ideas from politics today, just mixed up with regular anti-Semitism. But I think all that is fairly new in our politics. And I do think it's all connected. I'm an optimist about all this in a strange way. I think that the resistance movement that we're having, that we're experiencing, is probably one of the most exciting constitutional moments in the country's history. It's happening because of that other stuff. And it's very painful to watch, but for every step backward, we're going to take a large step forward. That's been the country's history, but it's a wild ride when you're in public life.
I bet. Well, you literally have written the book on demagogues.
Right.
And
yeah.
Is it playing out just as you described it in your book?
Yeah. So I wrote a book in 2009 called Demagogue, The Fight to Save Democracy from Its Worst Enemies. And it is on a number of levels. One of the things in that book was I was interested in periods when democracy are tested and when they come under stress, and the way they react to this demagogue threat. So we have thought about demagogues since the very beginning of our founding, and demagogues are all over the Federalist Papers. And the first and the last Federalist Paper, the Founding Fathers are very worried about demagogues erupting in the country. And they were sprinkled throughout the Constitutional Convention, the writing of the Constitution, the Electoral College, the way the Senate was designed. There's institutions that are about trying to avoid these sort of predatory mass leaders who would prey on our passions and our prejudices. In the 1930s, when demagogues were erupting in Europe, of course, Hitler and Mussolini, this country went through a very intense period of self-examination and of reflection, of activism about demagogues here. So that was when you had Huey Long and Father Coughlin, and then you had a really new level of executive authority with FDR having four terms in the presidency, which also led to a lot of concern and vigilance about democracy itself. You could call that resistance another kind of resistance. So when he tried to pack the Supreme Court, that led to a backlash from the American people, and he wasn't able to get that done in Congress. And you also had hyper vigilance about Huey Long and Father Coughlin and a number of other figures like them in that period when we were seeing it happen in Europe. So I think what's happening right now with Trump and this resistance movement is another chapter like that. It was just like we had anti-racist chapters when racist demagogues in the South were rebutted by waves of civil rights activism. It's a similar thing to anti-McCarthyism when Joseph McCarthy led people to challenge that introduction of fear-mongering and demagoguery. And we are always taking one step backward and a step forward with a great deal of stress and a lot of struggle by the people involved in politics and policy. And that, I think, is exactly what's happening now.
You said you are optimistic. Where do you get your hope in a moment like this when you're surrounded by the level of anger and hatred that you've seen?
I think the arc of history when it comes to democracy and to human enlightenment is progressive. I just do. Mm-hmm. I think there's much more evidence in favor of that idea than on the other hand of it. And I think that it's tested brutally. I mean, the biggest test was last century during World War II, obviously, and that led to tens of millions of people dying, and to the, you know, the Jewish race being the subject of an attempt at extinguishing them. But the last decades have seen a very sound overcoming and a repudiation of every one of those ideas and attempts. So we're seeing, I think, from these terrorist elements, this new virus along those lines, also an attack on human enlightenment, but I think we are going to defeat that. And I think it's because enlightenment is more powerful than the forces that try to kill it. But it's a stress and a strain and a struggle and a back and forth dialectical process to achieve higher rungs on the ladder of history. And I think that it's been a very, very difficult challenge for me to put this in perspective. So I enjoy doing interviews like this because it's a chance to get deeper into the foundation of this. And there was a lot of media attention earlier this week. The New York Times, I wasn't even aware they had done an editorial yesterday about what happened here in Little Charlottesville with this rally on Saturday. But on the other hand, we got to keep this in perspective because these were clowns who had bought tiki torches at Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they are parroting completely incoherent cliches that were soundly rejected decades and decades ago. And I don't think they have a large base for anti-Semitic attacks or for white nationalist policies or for being against pluralism and diversity in our society. They're not going to get anywhere on those. Like, look what's happening in our country. We are becoming a majority minority. Employers do care about diversity. Gay marriage is legal here. We are opening our borders. The Muslim ban was defeated. This is not where the country is going. They're furious about that. It's retrograde stuff, and they're trying to force it into the public view, but it is being rejected, and it will be rejected. We will be in a better place in 25 years from now, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, in terms of enlightenment ideas about human progress and the progress of our democracy. We just will. So I have that confidence. I just think we are always tested in a free democracy, and the challenge is how do we rise to the occasion, and that's why this resistance movement was so important. This election of Donald Trump was, I think, the summa of the tests that this democracy in our lifetime is going to be presented with. You know, you could say there's honest demagoguery, which is just somebody who ordinarily plays to somebody's fears and prejudices, and the question is, do they have defenses for that, and does society rise to the challenge to rebut the demagogue and defuse them? That's one part. And then there's dishonest demagoguery, which is when you have a foreign power trying to rig and manipulate an actual media and an election system, and you really saw a perfect storm of both of those in this last year. I think we are rising to the system. The courts are rising to the challenge, and our media certainly is, and our people are, and now you're seeing maybe even the Senate and the House will, and certainly the Department of Justice, and that's good news. That's
it
good
is.
News.
It
just
is.
Has been a hell of a scary ride getting here.
Michael Signer is the mayor of Charlottesville, Virginia. Mayor Signer, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you giving us this time and to hear your perspective on hope when some people haven't quite found it yet. So,
but they got to keep fighting.
They got to keep fighting.
Yeah, so, this is an active hope. This is not like, oh, I can sit back and hope will be validated. I have to participate. You have to be part of it to make the hope real. That is the key. There need to be millions of people involved in making this hope real.
Well, thanks so much for making the time to be with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you.